Welcome to the Creative Careers in Medicine podcast with your host, Dr. Dana Pang, and myself, Dr. Elise Hutt. Join us as we talk to inspiring clinicians who have redefined their careers. Today, I welcome to the podcast Dr. Shawit Balay, a doctor, actor, and singer currently appearing in Wicked as Nessa Rose. She made her stage debut in Hamilton, has experience working in screen acting, and is currently working on her own music, as well as continuing to work as a locum doctor. Hi, Dr. Shawit Balay. Welcome to the CCIM podcast.
Hi, Dr. Elise. It's so nice to meet you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, very excited to have you on. Can you give me a bit of an idea of the work that you're currently doing?
At the moment, I work full-time in musical theatre, which I think might be a bit of a surprise for any listeners. I work full-time in musical theatre and I am currently playing the role of Nessa Rose in Wicked.
And are you still working clinically as well? Are you picking up anything on side that or between seasons? How does that work?
I'm PGY4. So basically what I did before I started working full-time as a performer is I did my internship for 1 year. Then once I was PGY2 was when I booked my first show. So then I was like, okay, I don't know how to balance this. Let me just locum from now until oblivion, I guess. So since PGY2, I've been finding locum shifts here and there in whatever city I happen to be touring in. So I'm not working clinically at the moment, but the plan is to find a locum job while I'm in Melbourne for this season.
Yeah, wow. Are you doing that to keep your skills and knowledge and CPD, or is it part of like you want to do the work as well? I feel like it would be a full-on schedule trying to balance both.
I think it's a bit of both, honestly. Like it's a bit of like it keeps me sane and just makes sure that I don't remain in the bubble that is very easy to exist in when you're working in an industry that is so, well, I think in any industry that you work in, if all your interactions and your friends and all of those things are in that industry, then it's very easy for it to just become a bubble and for it to feel like the only world that you exist in. It's a bit of wanting to still exercise that part of my brain and still keeping my proficiency up, but also making sure my registration is intact.
Yeah. I'm very interested. It's a very different world to the world of medicine, I imagine. How does working in theatre work? What does your week look like? How much structure is it and how much free time do you have?
The general schedule for someone working in musical theatre is that you have Mondays off or Mondays and Tuesdays off. It just depends on what show you're on, your producers, and what schedule they think will sell best as far as tickets are involved. On Wicked, we have Mondays and Tuesdays off, so they're the days that we don't have any shows. And then Wednesday through to Sunday are the days that we have shows. So 3 of those days, that's Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday, we have 2 shows a day. And then Thursdays and Fridays, we have 1 show in the evening. And sometimes there can be rehearsals during the day on Thursdays and on Tuesdays. It really just depends on what your role is in the show and whether or not you understudy any other roles in the show. So that's sort of what the typical week looks like. Yeah. So from Wednesday to Sunday, you're essentially spending more time at the theatre than you do at home. It's a bit strange sometimes. It becomes like a second home.
Are you doing rehearsals and whatnot during the day, or by the time you've started the show, have you completed rehearsals and pretty confident that you've got your part down?
Generally speaking, by the time we start our season in our first city, rehearsals are done. From cast announcement, which is usually maybe like a few months out from when we start rehearsals. So cast announcement happens, there's a few months of like publicity and like all of these things and fanfare. And then usually there's a rehearsal period, which is like a 9-to-5 schedule. So it's Mondays through to Saturdays, usually starting in the morning, finishing in the afternoon. It can be quite an intense period. And it's usually, I would say 5 to 7 weeks, depending on a few things. Like it depends on how new the show is, whether or not the show has been done before, and how, I guess, just how much of the show they need to build. For Wicked, we had our rehearsals for 5 weeks. I think it was 5 weeks. I think it might have been 4 weeks. And 4 weeks is pretty quick. That's a quick rehearsal process. And for a show as big as Wicked as well, like it's very quick. And that was in a studio. So we rehearsed at ABC Studios in Sydney. And then once those 4 weeks were up, everything was taken to the theatre, and then we had maybe 2 to 3 weeks of rehearsals in the theatre, and we call that our tech, so technical rehearsal. And that's essentially where we start adding in costumes, lights, makeup, props. Wicked has a lot of automation and pieces of set that are moving via remote control, which is crazy and amazing to see. So our technical rehearsals were quite rigorous. But yeah, so once we open, we have technical rehearsals, and then we have previews, which are basically like ticketed dress rehearsals, essentially. And then once we've done all our previews, then we have our opening night. And then from opening night onwards is the official start of the season. And sometimes we still do have rehearsals even after opening night. It just depends again on whether you're an understudy for other roles. And that's usually used as an opportunity to learn, for people to learn other roles and to rehearse them and all that sort of thing. Hopefully that made sense.
Yeah. Wow. I think I'm a bit blown away by how little time, obviously there's a lot of years of developing the show that have gone into Wicked, but how little time you actually have to rehearse that. But I'm also thinking from my head, someone who has no experience in musical theater, who would be starting from such a low baseline to get ready for all of the tiny details. So I'm sure it's very different with all of the experienced people in the room. Yeah, I really don't know how you've found time to do any work in clinical medicine whilst doing that. That sounds like it would take up all of your brain space.
I guess it's been a matter of like trying to be strategic about it. While we were in Sydney, I didn't do any clinical work in Sydney because I was like, it's just going to be too hectic. But I did do 3 weeks before we started our rehearsals. I did 3 weeks in Swan Hill in Victoria as a resident. So that was just 3 weeks of working on the wards, which was great because it was a break that I had between shows. So I was like, okay, I've got 3 weeks. Let me just smash out my hours and then I won't have to worry about it when we get to Sydney, and I won't have to worry about doing all of this paperwork to work in a new state. So I guess it's just a matter of like figuring out what will work logistically, because I guess the risk is also just being run down and not being able to deliver in any sense of the word in any workplace.
Yeah.
So I was just really wary of being burnt out and try to avoid that as much as possible.
Yeah, wow. Sounds like you've done a great job of it, balancing it all. I want to take us back to the beginning. When did you first remember starting to think about medical school, and do you remember what you were thinking at the time, like what contributed to that decision?
Honestly, I probably didn't start thinking about it until I was probably 14 or 15. I would have been in year 10. And up until that time, I really wanted to be a marine biologist. And that's probably because I like to copy everything my older sister does. And she was studying zoology and like environmental science at that time. And I was like, I want to do that. That's cool. And I like dolphins. Fish are cool. I want to do that. And then I think once I realized that marine biology is really research-based, that kind of turned me off it, just because I like being able to interact with people. Being in a lab 24/7, I think, would just be really hard for me because I love talking. So I didn't pursue that. And I remember talking to my mum, and mum just being like, why don't you just try medicine? And I was like, okay, I guess I'll give it a go. Like, I hadn't really thought about seriously pursuing it until, yeah, year 9, year 10.
Musical theatre or theatre in general on the cards at that stage?
It was for me, but my mum was like, you're going to musical theatre school over my dead body. That's never happening. So I was like, okay, that's not an option for me now. But I remember talking to her about it, and because she knew how important it was to me, her advice to me was, you don't need to go to school for music to do it. You've always done it without needing training or without needing it to be structured. It's always going to be there. You can always come back to it. Uni, however, is just, it's something that's structured. It's something that's there. If the opportunity presents itself, you may as well go for it.
Yeah, well, I got the same advice because when I was in year 12, I liked baking and I wanted to do medicine.
Yep.
And I was like, am I going to be a like pastry chef or am I going to do medicine? But yep, that feels very different to be like, I could still bake on the weekends if I wanted to, versus am I going to be in a musical theatre production of Wicked on the weekends.
But you know what? I think there's actually more similarities than you think, because my weekends I was like putting music things together or going to gigs or recording covers or whatever. So it's, I hadn't really thought about it. I wasn't even sure if musical theatre specifically was what I wanted to do. But I think just any opportunity to engage in something that involved music, I was like, okay, cool, I'll do it on the side for now.
Did you keep that up through med school? Were you doing acting and music and everything through med school? What did that look like at that point in time?
It was definitely on the back burner. And you know what's really interesting? I have such a one-track mind. I find it really hard to focus on more than one thing at once. So once I was in study mode, like at uni, that was it. Like, it took me ages to figure out how to have a balance in my life while I was at university, just because I either wanted to go all or nothing. So I think initially it was really hard for me to figure out where music fit in that stage of my life. But I guess like during holidays, I was in a band with one of my really good friends. He was a guitarist, I was a vocalist. And before we both left, because I grew up in Tassie, before we both left Tassie for uni, we always used to do gigs once a month at the pub, or we'd busk at the markets or play at people's weddings. And we both just continued to do that throughout uni because we'd both be back home for the holidays. So yeah, if we had some spare time over the weekend, we'd be like, you want to go busk at the market? Yeah, sweet. Let's go busk at the market. Or we'd have a wedding or like a gig come up that we were both available for. So we just tried to make it work. Yeah, it was a lot of just doing things in my holidays because that was when all the creative juices were flowing. And yeah, I just get some gear together, like some recording gear together, and just start to record some things on my own, because I think that was sort of the only way that I could express myself in that way and publish it and put it online, because to me that felt like a complete job. Like, it wasn't necessarily a gig, but it was kind of a way to publish something, do it, and be like, okay, cool, now I can move on to another project. So yeah, it was just a lot of freelancey things. I also started I had some friends who started a K-pop dance group at uni. And so I joined in on that, and we would perform at this cultural festival in Townsville called Culture Fest every year. And I remember it would get really stressful before Culture Fest, and I'd be like, I'm not doing this again next year because this is just too stressful. Lo and behold, the next year I'd find myself back doing the K-pop dance group. So yeah, it was just things like that, just any opportunity that there was to dance or to sing or whatever, I would try to involve myself in it.
Yeah. And then moving on to internship residency, you said you got back into musical theatre. Well, you got your first role in musical theatre during residency. How did you end up back in that sphere and auditioning and all of that?
Oh, it was like dusting cobwebs off my audition muscle. So I was at uni, and once applying for internships, like once that process started, I just remember thinking I need to be in a bigger city, just because I know that's where the opportunities will be, whether that's for musical theatre or for gigs or whatever. Then I just need to be somewhere that's a little bit bigger if I can. So I applied to an intern position in Brisbane along with a lot of my other friends, and I got the spot that I wanted, and so I moved to Brisbane. The first 6 months of internship were really tough, and I did nothing musical. And I remember just feeling like a shell of myself because I just didn't know who I was. But I think that's just the way working is sometimes, especially as an intern. And then the last 6 months of that year, I just started performing. I think my first gig was at an open mic at the Brisbane Jazz Club. And they're just this really great little jazz club in Kangaroo Point. And basically you can apply to do an open mic. You have a couple of songs, there's a band, you take your music and they play for you. And it's just like a really fun night. And I invited some friends, and that was my first return to doing live gigs after ages. And there were a couple of local productions in Brisbane that I could see were coming up, because there is a very active musical theatre scene in Brisbane, professional and amateur and pro-am as well, which is great. And so, yeah, I auditioned for a couple of shows, and I remember being like, oh my God, I feel like I've forgotten how to audition. It's really weird. So it was like learning how to sing again, because the conditions that you sing under when you're auditioning are very different to the conditions that you're singing under when you're doing a live performance that's on your terms. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty nerve-wracking, but it was good. And at the time was really obsessed with Hamilton. I still am. I am a self-confessed super fan. Hamilton the musical, for those who don't know. And I remember seeing a post on Instagram from the producers that they were doing an open audition for the Hamilton cast. And I was like, okay, this is it. I guess I'm going to submit my audition. And I guess An open casting call basically means that casting calls go through people's agents. So a lot of the time, like an average Joe, just like a general public, don't have access to those casting briefs or to those auditions. But an open casting call basically means that they're looking for anyone and everyone, which is great for a show that needs diverse performers. So I remember just sending in my CV and my headshot for that show. And then I had to send a few self-tapes, and then I had to send more self-tapes. And then I remember getting to the final audition and being like, this is really weird. I'm in the final audition for my dream show. And this was during my annual leave as an intern. So it all just worked out perfectly timing-wise. Otherwise, had I not been on leave, it would have been really hard to just find the time to record myself doing audition material and send it in and all of those things. So yeah, I had my final audition in my first week back to work after annual leave. And then I think a couple of weeks later, I got the call telling me that I'd booked it, and I was literally on the wards filling out an x-ray form for a patient. It was really weird. And I remember the producer called me and she said, hey, we'd love to offer you this job. And I was like, oh, great, I'm in. And it was just really weird because I had a patient that I was looking after that was like quite unwell. And it was just so weird to be between these two worlds, but that's just been my life, I guess, for as long as I can remember. So yeah, that's how that happened.
That's amazing. I love that it was your favorite show that you booked as your first thing, and that you were able to do it coming from a background of having kind of put a back burner for a while as well.
I felt really blessed and very lucky to have been able to have had that opportunity. And I think the opportunities that I'd gotten in Brisbane to be a part of those shows in that local sort of musical theatre community were such a huge help. And no one really knew who I was in Brisbane. I just moved there for 7 months and I just started auditioning for these shows. And yeah, there were some really lovely, generous producers and performers in Brisbane that I got to know and were just made my time there so lovely. And I think that's what sort of gave me the confidence that I needed to audition for Hamilton.
Yeah, well, like your mum was right. I feel like that's the time when you don't want your mum to be right. But
I know. Yeah.
That's very, very cool. Do you have any big dreams? It sounds like you kind of landed a big dream to begin with, but do you have any big dreams within the theatre world that you'd like to see happen in the next 5 years or 10 years?
Oh, that's a great question. You know what? I think I have always wanted to be a recording artist. That's sort of always been my end goal. I think working in musical theatre has just been an absolute blessing. And I almost feel every show I do just feels like another phenomenal opportunity. And I honestly, I can't quite believe that I get to do this as my job. So I know this is really cheesy and such a corny answer to your question, but at this point, I think I'm just taking every opportunity as it comes. It all still feels shiny and like a dream. So yeah, I think every day that I have to work in this industry already feels like a dream come true.
Yeah, no, I love that answer. That is a perfect answer. I think it feels more attainable as well to be like, I'm just taking things as they come. I mean, you've done a lot of work to get you those opportunities and obviously very talented, but still it feels a bit more like do that. I don't think I'm about to be offered any musical theatre roles, I think.
Well, I don't know, Elise.
It doesn't fall in my skill set, but it is very applicable to other lines of work as well.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm intrigued about how you plan to continue balancing medicine. I know you said it's indefinitely you're entering locum life, which I've done for a few years, so I think very, very acceptable. But do you have an area of medicine that particularly interests you or any particular plan for your medical career?
For a really long time, I wanted to work as an obstetrician. I wanted to do obstetrics training. But I think I've just come to realize that working in a hospital is just not for me long term. It's truly just not for me. So I think general practice work is looking pretty appealing to me right now. And because I know that the training, there can be some flexibility in training. And because, you know, I guess you can also be a GP and have a special interest in women's health or things like that. So it's not like the obstetric side of things just goes completely just by virtue of being a GP. That's what I'm thinking at the moment. I had coffee with an old supervisor a couple of days ago, and she was my supervisor while I was working in Swan Hill in Victoria, and I really enjoyed working with her just because she was another woman of colour and she was in a senior position, which is not really something that you see often. And so, and her and I get along really well, and I remember telling her, oh, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm in the show, and I've also started recording some music, some original music for an EP or an album, which has always been a dream of mine. And then she just said straight away, I don't think you're going back to medicine. And I was like, I need you to not say that, because for some reason you saying that doesn't feel scary to me. Like, it feels there's an element of truth there. So I don't know. I think I'm going to see how I go. I feel like I've been living at a crossroads for the last 3 years or so. And this year or a couple of years down the line might be the time when I finally make a decision. But I think at this point, I'm just going to keep doing the locum musical theatre balance thing and see how that goes. I know it'll get to a point where I'm like, okay, now I just need to make a decision because this can't go on forever. But I just don't know when that's going to be.
No, it sounds like an incredible position to be in, that you've got a whole medical degree behind you as a backup plan and everything's working out in the current plan.
I feel really grateful to be in this position, so I can't complain.
Tell me a bit about the music that you're recording. How are you going about that? Are you doing that alongside the show that you're currently working on, or is that also a bit between breaks?
So I'm doing it at the same time while I'm on the show, just because my role in Wicked is not super duper physically demanding or super duper vocally demanding. So it feels like a really good opportunity for me to use the days to record music, just because I don't have to worry so much about conserving my voice or conserving my energy. So I am working with a producer who I met through some friends, and they're a good friend of mine as well. And honestly, it's just music that I've written over the last 6 to 8 months. And I think I always intended to start recording at this point. Melbourne just feels like a good city to be recording music. I don't know why. I think it's just because everyone here is doing their own thing and is very artistic and is doing something that's very different. So I think I feel constantly like my creativity is very stimulated by that, which is great. So I usually just record later on in the week on days that I have shows, just because it tends to work better. And we're 3 songs into an EP that I'm hoping will be 6 songs, potentially 8, to turn it into an album. I hope that I can trick myself into making it 8 songs, which would be great. I don't know if I can call it or categorize it into a particular genre, because I had an intention for it to be a neo-soul album, and then the first 3 songs, none of them are neo-soul or R&B, which is great. They've just taken on a life of their own, which I love. But that's been really fun.
Yeah, that's so cool. Do you have an idea of when you want to finish, or do you have a particular deadline that you're working to?
I probably should. Unfortunately, I don't, just because I feel like sometimes life can take over. But I'm hoping around the middle of the year, hopefully July, August, it'll be close to being released. At least all the songs will be recorded by then, I'm hoping. And then I'll just go from there as far as the release and picking the singles and all of that stuff.
Yeah, incredible. How long does it take to write like and then record 1 song? How many hours are we talking?
Yeah, it depends on the song and which of my emotions I'm exploiting and how much I'm avoiding exploiting those emotions. But I think a typical song probably will take maybe, because I usually write them across a couple of days or maybe a week, and I'll keep coming back to it and refining it. So I want to say like maybe maximum 2 to 3 hours writing. And that's like from the original concept, which is literally just a melody that I record into my phone while I'm on the train, because I've just had an idea, to the final song. And that's like through tweaking and like changing the melody and figuring out a chorus and a bridge and all of those things. And then the recording, again, it also depends on what the song needs production-wise. One of the songs on the EP, I think, took 1.5 days to record completely. And that was like starting from the ground up. I usually go into a recording session with a very sort of clear and vivid idea of what I want for a song. So I think that does tend to make it the recording and the producing process a little bit quicker because it's just a bit more streamlined. But yeah, so I want to say like 2 days in total probably for one song. So it's pretty labor intensive.
Yeah, it sounds it.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of it as well just relies on that natural like songwriting and the creativity that is definitely a unique talent. It's very impressive.
I am really lucky to be working with a phenomenal producer who knows what I want before I even know that it's what I want. So I feel so grateful that I'm working with someone who is just awesome at what they do.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to hear it. We ask this question of everyone that comes on our show, and I think you've kind of already done all of the things that you've ever wanted to do, but maybe there's more. The question is, if there was something you could do outside of medicine and healthcare, and for you also outside of performing, do you have an alternate reality dream career?
I feel like I do, but oh yeah, I do. I think I would be a journalist.
What sort of journalism would you do?
I think a foreign correspondence. I'm obsessed with all of that stuff and documentaries, and yeah, I just love that stuff. And I think because it's just such an interesting way to see how current events affect our world. And I think like as someone who came to Australia as a refugee as well, it's just knowing that there are so many alternate realities that people live in. And as far as like conflict goes, wars, all of those things, foreign correspondence and journalism has always been something that I've been fascinated by. So yeah, I want to say that.
That feels like a completely different idea to everything else that you're doing, but I could also completely see you doing that down the line as well.
Oh, well, watch this space, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. I think you've got enough at the moment.
I think so too.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Shuit. It's lovely to chat to you.
Thank you, Elise. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Careers in Medicine podcast, a proud member of the Talking Health Tech podcast network. Visit the Creative Careers in Medicine website in the show notes of this episode for more resources to help you find the courage, confidence, and skills to take control of your career and forge your own unique path. The Creative Careers in Medicine podcast acknowledges the traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognises the continuing connection to lands, water, and community. We pay our respects to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures and to elders past, present, and emerging.